Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Former Penguin Stanley Cup winner, Bob Arey. Bob, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Cookie. Great to be on with you guys. I love talking shop with you guys, and let's get it rolling. Let's get this team going, will you?
Well, I'm assuming you're better off than the Penguins are these days. I thought that was a crushing loss last night, not because they didn't play well. I mean, they had 49 shots, but those were 2 points they needed badly, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, Cookie, I would have put my money all on the Pens last night. That was a game they had to have. You figured they'd come out with the urgency. Not a rookie goaltender, but a goaltender making his first start in the National Hockey League. I mean, everything pointed the Penguins' way. It just didn't end up that way. And, you can come up with the reasons if you want. And, I have some thoughts, certainly. But that's 2 points that you may look on at the end of the season as being, if you don't make the playoffs, you're definitely going to look back at the game last night.
Bibbs, I haven't talked to you since Moby Dick was a minnow. How are you?
Joe, how you doing? Great to be on with you. How you doing? Everything all right?
Not really. No, it's not all right at all, Bibbs. They're going to miss the playoffs. And now Granlund is the guy I want to ask you about. What does he offer, like, when he's at his best? Like, what were they thinking, do you think, when they brought him in?
Well, he's a facilitator, a guy that can play a lot of different positions, Joe. You know, you could play him left wing, center, or right wing. So he's a guy that can play. If somebody goes down, let's say Raquel goes down like he did last year in game one against the Rangers. You know, you got a guy like Granlund, you can throw him right up there. And he can make plays with top players. He can. It hasn't been working so far in terms of, filling the net. I see glimpses of what he can bring. He was robbed by Shesterkin in New York a few times, but he's a guy that can play on your top six if somebody goes down. And I'm telling you, the Penguins are an older team. It's a tough grind, the playoffs. I can't see their top six forwards playing every game in the playoffs. I just don't see that as being reality. So you think of a guy like Granlund that can fit into one of those positions, and you can kind of keep on rolling if somebody goes down, and he can fit any of those positions, left, center, or right.
Bob, where are you with Jarry? I've been a big fan all along. I wanted to sign him before the year. I wanted to sign him when he was playing well early in the year. Now I don't want to sign him. It's been something with him all of the time. I thought he was okay last night. You know, the other guy was spectacular. Where are they with Jarry, and can they get to the playoffs and do any damage if he isn't at the top of his game?
Well, I don't think they can do damage if he's not at the top of his game. Although I do think Casey has played some good games for the Penguins, and I think he's better than he's ever been. You know, the record might not show up, but of course he got a loss the other day for giving up, one goal and bailing Jarry out in one of those efforts. I think you need Jarry to be at the top of his game. He's your number one guy. Although this Penguin team, none of us can figure them out. Inconsistent, that's about the best you can say, is they're consistently inconsistent. They've shown flashes of brilliance, flashes of domination, but flashes of disinterest and not wanting to play defense. And those don't go together. They're not a winning formula. They want to get to the dance. They profess they want to and say they're in a playoff situation, although I've heard Sully say that more than the players. I see this team as being able, because I've seen it before and I've seen it in the not-too-distant past, and I've seen it, saw it in last year's playoff, where a team that was pretty dominant when they were healthy over the New York Rangers. So I see this team as, if they're healthy and if Jari's there, back to your question, playing at a peak performance. And I thought he was good last night. I did, Cookie. Actually, I mean, you can't fault him on the second goal. I mean, it's a bang-bang play in front of the net. What do you want him to do there? Stop the breakaway, a couple of two-on-ones with Stützle. You know, I don't know what more to say. I mean, that wasn't Jarry. Had nothing to do last night's game with Jarry. He was fine, you know. I thought the Penguins and Malkin was no good in the first period at all. Better in the second and third, certainly. He couldn't have been any worse. He tried to take over a little bit in the second and third, but, you know, on that power play that they had and then losing his man on the Shabbat goal, you know, those are plays you can't make if you're going to consistently win. And it's frustrating to watch. I like what some of the guys in the third and fourth line are doing. I think those guys should play a lot. I think they bring a lot to the team. Maybe because I was one of those guys at a time. I see Paling out there flying. I see O'Connor getting in. You know, those guys are a benefit to the team. They're not detracting from what they're doing. They're a benefit.
Bob Berry on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real life magic for guests. Check out these numbers, Bibbs and Ron and Folsy. Listen to this. A man named Brian H. tweeted me today with the Penguins season in a nutshell. Here's the streaks they've gone on in order. Check this out. They start 4-0-1, then they go 0-6-1, 15-3-2, 0-4-2, 8-4-3, 0-4-0, 7-1-1, 0-4-0. So as he said, there's four stretches there where they're 34-8-7. And four stretches where they're 0-18-3. What's the best explanation, Bibbs? Injuries? Or is that just an excuse?
Well, it's reality too, Joe. You know, it is. You can use it any way you want. The team has overcome injury before. But they're a little bit older, and you lose some guys. It's pretty taxing on the other players that you know, for an 82-game schedule, aren't quite as invested as they used to be. They want to get to the playoffs and show what they can do come dance time, right? So you're just hoping you get there. So now you're going to see the best team coming out. They're still injured on the backside. Injuries are a part of it. I could guarantee you through some of those stretches, the stretches you mentioned, the downs, that the team has been banged up. I can also tell you, I know that because I know what the record is with Petrie in the lineup. You know, I know what the record is.
What?
With Letang, healthy.
What is it with Petrie? Really good?
Yeah, I mean, they're like eight, nine games over 500, and they're four under without him.
Wow.
You know, and his game has come on. You know, not in a look at me wow way, but in a way where I'm absorbing 22 and a half minutes a game, and we're winning hockey games, and I'm sucking up minutes and playing against the other guys' top guys. You know, in that kind of way, Joe. So. You know, I don't need flash and dash. I don't need highlight reels. I need wins and losses. That's what the Penguins are looking for. You know, you look at the injuries to the goalies. You look at the injuries to the defensemen. That's when the Penguins have been at the worst. You look at we're coming out of the break at Christmas when they go to play against the Islanders, and it's a no-show. Worst game by far the Penguins played all year. But then you look at some of the as I said in the telecast last night, you know, throw some of those advanced stats out the window and this and that. I mean, the Penguins are throwing up. They're outchancing teams 2-1 in a lot of these losses. They're getting putting 48 shots on the board. So let's get dirty. Let's get the nose dirty. Let's go in there and screen the goaltender so some guy we don't know, Ferguson, can make 48 saves. You know, get in there. Get in his grill. Get in his kitchen. Stuff that Zucker does. And I like the way Raquel's playing too, but you got to have a little bit of that, a little bit more of that, if you're going to win the close games instead of losing the close games.
Bob, what do you think Sid's thinking through all this? I mean, I know in 15 they had to go to Buffalo and win the last game. Fleury threw a shutout there, 2-0. What do you think Sid is thinking of all this? I mean, he takes so much pride, I know, in that 16-year streak, and I'm just wondering what he's going through his mind as he watches this. Inconsistency.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's a great question. He got hit again by Watson in the back, high in the back, lower neck. No response really to that. throughout the rest of the hockey game. Now, the Penguins aren't that kind of team, so you don't have to go back at a Watson. But surely the other team has a Giroux or a Tkachuk or a Shabbat or a Zub or somebody that you can stick your, you know, whatever you want to into their nose or whatever you want to do, but say, you know, respond. I would have responded right away to the Crosby situation. Sid went off the ice. You can sense his body language. I saw the way he looked, and I saw the way he turned his neck and tried to flex it and make sure he was okay. You don't think he would have loved to see somebody just go out there and do something? That's hockey. You know, Sid's at his best when he's like that. But, I mean, he can't keep doing it all the time. I mean, you want this guy to play till he's in his 40s and be the guy to lead that kind of charge? I mean, he's led the charge for years. I mean, he's done and he has led that charge many a time this year. But when's enough enough? And I'm not saying you have to drop the gloves and fight the man that knocked him down. But surely you can go run somebody else. I saw Heinen run somebody last night because he was out of the lineup. You know, there's a funny thing. When you get pulled out of the lineup, you tend to come out just jumping and hopping. You don't want to be taken out of the lineup again. Some of these players that have sat out some games have played their best games when they've come back. You know, when you're on edge like that, that's not a bad thing. And not a bad thing to keep some of these guys on edge, whether it's with reduced ice time or different situations. And if your power play's not going and guys aren't back-checking, put somebody else out there for them, you know? And I wasn't very happy with one of the back-checks on one of the early power plays last night by one of the Penguins' greats. And, you know, he played better as the game went along. So I did expect that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you as a follow-up, but you pretty much followed it up yourself about the response there. I was talking to somebody today about missing the likes of Hornquist last night. He would have been all over that goalie, ticking people off left and right, or Kunitz lighting somebody up, one of their defensemen, on a forecheck, something like that. And just no response when your best player, your star, your franchise gets cross-checked like that. And it's just so odd to watch him by himself get up, shake it off, go back to the bench, and it's forgotten. That doesn't happen with other teams. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. They protect their guys.
And Joe, to bring back the point, was it the game in L.A., Bob, against the Kings, where that guy, yep. I thought it was worse that night than it was last night. Same thing. Sid got the misconduct, right? Got thrown out first time in his career.
Yeah. You know, I think that's when you're on the bench there and you're not a guy that's named Sid Malkin or Letang. That's where you got to take it upon yourself, right? And you know, we've seen a lot of Zucker do that time and time and time again this year. But it can't just be one. You know, strength comes in numbers, and the Penguins are that kind of team. I mean, they got to be. It's a team. It's kind of that gang mentality, right? They're not. You know, you got to have Archibald, and then you got to have the next guy, O'Connor. You know, these guys got to get a little bit meaner and kind of read the situation. You know, this isn't just, I'm trying to get out there and go up and down the ice. And quite frankly, I love O'Connor's game, by the way, or Paling. I love their game. But some of those guys can get involved too. Some of those guys can, quite frankly, can try to get out of their comfort zone, can try to bring a little extra to their portfolio. Well, if you don't want to, that's fine. It takes some courage sometimes, guys, to do something different, doesn't it? No matter what it is in life, you know? But that's a strength, and that's a quality that your teammates admire. And just an extra run at somebody, whether it was Watson or somebody else, you know, Sid wouldn't even had to have reacted, but, you know, inside that he would have appreciated it, because I know 66 appreciated it, and I know 87 would have appreciated. I know the way he thinks. He's an intelligent man. He knows there's other parts of hockey. The hockey game is won and lost in not just out shooting and out statting your opponent. And we saw that again last night for the Penguins. There's other qualities you can bring to the game that don't show up in your any stat book. And you have to have those intangibles. You have to have those things that bring a team together and help a team win.
Bob, they're in a three-team race for two spots. Who are they going to beat out? I love Sorokin with the Islanders. I think he's the best goaltender of the three teams remaining. Florida is on a real roll, although I'm not a big Bobrovsky fan. Who do they have to beat out? Well, one of those two. How do they do it?
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say they beat the Islanders out. I think Florida's on a roll. I think they were great last year. I think they're getting their swagger back. Swagger's an important thing. Do I like the Islanders? Yeah, I like their gusto. I like the way they grind and try to beat teams. And yes, I like Sorokin, but you know, I watch a lot of hockey games, and I see the Islanders kind of going at a nice level. They're winning those games, and they're coming back in some games, and their goalie's saving them. But I like Florida's game, team game. I love Barkov. He's one of my favorite players in the league, setting the all-time franchise record for points last night. I like the way they're going, and Bobrovsky has never been one of my favorites, Cookie. He is playing his best hockey, maybe in the National Hockey League. We'll see how they trend. This thing is it's like a teeter-totter, right? It's one way it's going, one day it's going one way and one the other. And, you know, if it starts going one way too much, and it's going to fall right off the rails for one of these teams. One of these teams will falter, and we just hope the Penguins can find their game in the midst of a firestorm on this road trip against some of the NHL's elite.
Bibbs, you're a wonderful man. Everybody thinks so. Thank you for joining us.
I wish I had the answers, Joe. And Cookie, thanks for having me on, and let's talk again come playoff time.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, boys.
Good stuff by
man,
Bibbs.
I love talking hockey with that guy. He teaches me something about the game every time I talk to him. Every time I talk to him. I love to run into him at the game and ask him stuff because he teaches me something.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He was really helpful to me when I first got on the beat all those years ago, Ron. Just a genuinely good guy and obviously very knowledgeable.
Although
a little biased to the third and fourth liners, but he's right.
He was right
on this team.
He was one of them, right?
Yes, he was.
For
and he's absolutely right. That somebody needs, and I'll just speak for myself here, but it riffs off what he was saying, is you have your franchise get cross-checked in the back, just gratuitous shots on him all over the place, and nobody on this team will step up and do anything. In some ways, I think for fans, that makes it a way less likable team, harder team to root for.
I don't think so. Any question. Now, Kings game. Remember the hit he took in
yeah.
the Kings game?
Yeah.
And he got thrown out of the game.
At some point, turn your cheek. Doesn't matter. It's not even what the Penguins really did when they were winning cups. Hornquist and Kunis didn't turn their cheeks.
No,
neither did Hagelin, Bonino, Cole, or a bunch of other guys.
You know, I've told this story before. You know, one of the lessons Ari told me years ago about the six-stitch rule? I love this. He talked about how, you know, hockey players to me are the toughest in sports. A guy gets cut, okay, needs stitches, goes to the locker room. If it needs more than six stitches, they'll give you Novocaine, which delays your return to the game. If it's six or fewer, they do it without Novocaine, which is like putting a fish hook through your eyebrow six times with no painkiller because it gets you back out on the ice quicker. The six-stitch rule, I've never forgotten him. And he looks at me like, that's the way it is. It's what you got to do. You got to get back.
You got to get back.
The guy that said the other day that called, play hockey. It doesn't matter if you got a broken leg. Play hockey. Those guys play hockey, most of them.
They do, Ron. But I would still say, is there anything any hockey player would do to get back in a game that James Harrison wouldn't?
Yeah, true.
I don't think. Ronnie Lott pulled his own finger off to stay in a football game. Remember
that?
Well,
I love these hockey players that pull their teeth out on the ice.
Ronnie Lott pulled his pinky off. Remember that one?
I do.
I don't think I would do that to stay on the show.
This is the same line of thinking as that caller yesterday who said, shut up and play hockey.
That's what I just met. Yeah. That's the guy I was talking about. Play.
Yeah. Who cares? Injured.
Lacerated kidney.
Yeah.
Come on.
Broken leg.
Hey, you think Bonino wouldn't be out there if he could?
Ugh. He'd be anything short of a lacerated kidney, I'm convinced.
I still never forget that his last game here.
Yeah.
Blocks a Subban shot, breaks his ankle, leg, whatever it was, gets up, and he blocks another Subban shot.
Yeah.
And then barely can get off the ice.
Snap those bones back in place and play.
At least defend your captain. Defend the franchise with some honor. Somebody do something. All right, up next, is this going to be the most watched baseball game in the history of the world? I say that honestly. We'll talk about that next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Salem says come through again here on a Tuesday afternoon. They provide us food every week, Ron. Salem's in the Strip. You know, from Chris Hokey talking about, you know, from us eating it. It's absolutely, I'll say it again.
Incrinculant, I beat you.
Incrinculant. You know what I'm eating right now? The baklava. Holy bird milk.
You love it. It's so sticky, though. You got to go wash your hands afterwards.
I'm willing to pay that price.
It's delicious.
Oh, is it good? And those little chicken pockets they have, Ron, do you like those?
I've not tried those yet.
Samosas, they're called.
Samosas. Oh, my God.
They're delicious.
Phenomenal. Anyway.
Can I take 1 minute real quick?
Yeah.
A good friend of ours and a good employee at this station, PJ Comanchik. I've known him for 30 years, and he's our, I don't even know how to describe him. He's in promotions. He's in production. He does everything that needs to be done here. He lost his father a couple days ago, and I just found out about it yesterday. I believe the funeral is this morning, and I just wanted to offer my condolences, and I'm thinking I can speak for all of us, our condolences to PJ and his family. One of the truly good guys in this business. And I'm sure he's hurting right now, but, you know, his father, RIP, and our best to PJ Comanchik.
Yeah, I second that. One of the very good guys in this building for as long as we've been here, right?
I've known him since back at when I was at KDKA in 93 to 2002. Yeah. That's why I said I've known him for 30 years. He's been with his company forever. And you need anything, he's a go-to guy for you.
I second that, Ron. Moving on to baseball and the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know if you guys caught this guy last night throwing 100 miles an hour for 20 straight pitches, this kid for Japan. Then he gives up a three-run homer. He does. I don't know who's got his rights or when his rights are available.
He's 21, right? Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous. And then they win it on a walk-off. Ohtani gets the winning rally started in the ninth with a double. And they said that their earlier win over Korea, Japan's World Baseball Classic win over Korea, drew 62 million viewers in Japan alone, more than the most watched World Series game ever. So this game tonight, U.S.-Japan, is expected to be the most watched baseball game in the history of civilization. And I will be one of them. I'm tuning in. They've sold me. I want to see Ohtani pitch. Bednar could find himself in the middle of all this. This is incredible theater, Ron.
Now, I don't understand the rules. Ohtani can't start, right? He can't start.
I don't know.
He can't start the game as a pitcher. He's the DH, but apparently he told through his translator, I will pitch in relief tomorrow. So you have a chance to see him. Could you imagine him and Trout with the game on the line?
Might happen. It could happen.
It could very easily happen. Joe, I haven't watched a lot of this. I did see the highlight of the walk-off last night. It was amazing. But I can't believe the reaction of these players to this. They do not celebrate World Series wins like this.
No, this is like the World Cup of Hockey. It's
better than the World Series to these people.
Yeah.
And the crowds, all sellouts, and they're into it, man. They're into it from the first pitch. I mean, you watch that and see the crowd. Anybody that says, you know, baseball's slow, it's boring, it has nothing to offer, it's almost like it's a different sport to me.
I can't wait to watch it with the U.S. lineup and with Ohtani, and I don't know if this other kid is going to make any sort of appearance after pitching yesterday, but nobody's pitching a bunch of innings. Imagine if he comes in. to face one hitter. Have you caught any of this, Falsey?
I have, yeah. Bits and pieces, not as much as I should have, really, for the entire time, but I will be watching tonight, and I keep seeing the jokes about how Shohei Ohtani has led Japan to this final. Mike Trout has led the U.S. to this final. Only if these guys were on the same team could you imagine what happens.
Yeah, I saw somebody, exactly. I don't know if it was Ohtani, they asked, why do you celebrate like this? He goes, I've never had a chance to do it in the major
right.
leagues.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, they said he was real demonstrative last night when he hit that double.
He scored one of the runs. Like you said, he started to rally. He scored, I guess, the tying run on the winning hit.
Man, are you going to watch it? 7 p.m.?
I'm gonna,
it's going to be appointment viewing for me, at least as the game goes on. I don't know if I'll be there at the beginning, but I will be tuned in.
I think it's
in.
On FS1.
I can't wait, actually. The most watched baseball game in the history of the world by Mel Brooks. You ever see that movie, Ron? History of the World, parts 1 and 2?
No, I've seen some Mel Brooks movies, but not that one.
Blazing Saddles?
I saw that one. Did you ever see Blazing Saddles, Matty?
I think. I'm not sure.
You need to go back and see it again.
Yeah,
remember
it
Alex,
might be worth it.
Alex Karras in that movie?
Yes.
What was his name? Mingo? Something. Remember he punches the horse?
Yes, I do. Maybe that has in some way led to us calling all these people horse, Ron. Including our dear foal.
Really
by the way, speaking
it.
Of horses, I mentioned to you this book on the Turcotts. Coming up with, this is the Secretariat's 50-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Written by Ron Turcott. I have the book. I'll let you see it. We're going to get the author on to talk about it closer to Derby.
I like that idea a lot.
First Saturday in May. The book, it's about the Turcotts, but obviously a big part of it deals with Secretariat. I mean, I haven't read it yet. I've glanced through it, but I'll bring it in and let you take a look at it.
Beautiful. And I have a book for you. I have a book for you.
What is that?
Lee Montville, you know him, the great columnist out of Boston. During the pandemic, he went back and recreated his first assignment. His first big assignment for the Boston Globe all those years ago was the 1969 NBA Finals, Russell against Chamberlain. And he writes it from the perspective of a young writer, which he was.
Which he was. Easy perspective.
And his it's factual. It's biographical. And you'll enjoy it from the sports writing angle, Ron. He talks about being in L.A. and having to send his story by Western Union. He'd have to go find a Western Union little store. It would somehow take his story and send it all the way to Boston, and then someone would have to type it in. I mean, it's unbelievable the things they did. So from a sports writer perspective, you'd love it. Plus, would you agree he's a great writer?
Oh, tremendous.
One of the greatest.
One of the greatest.
I'm going to bring that book in for you, Rob.
That would be in Crinkulin.
Chamberlain against Russell. And do you know that Russell, they had Russell write his own column in the Boston Globe during the finals. How about that?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you see a lot more of that now, these guys with their own websites that they don't need the media anymore. They just deliver the message themselves, right?
Russell?
And he was ahead of his time.
Exactly. I don't know. I can't remember if Montville Ghost wrote the column for Bill Russell, but it was in the Globe.
Probably. Talked to him and then wrote it in his words, right.
But it didn't seem like Russell was always willing to do that after the games.
Nope.
But here's the thing, Ron. Way back then, it was Russell, Chamberlain, and none of the games was on live TV. In Boston and LA, baseball was king. And he said in Boston, it went baseball, hockey, and then the Celtics, even though they had already won like 10 titles because Bobby Orr had just come up.
Yeah, I would say boxing was way big back then, too.
Boxing, horse racing. You're
horse
right,
racing.
In LA, yep. For sure.
Absolutely.
In the country at large.
Well, I look forward to reading it. I'm fascinated by Chamberlain. You have that book I gave you too, right? The Chamberlain book?
No, I lost that one.
I gave it to you. You were going to give it back to me.
I know I lost it.
Oh!
No, I didn't lose it, Ron. I know exactly. Well, I hope I know where it is.
Yeah, I think I know.
No,
I know where it is.
I would think most people were kidding, but I know your history.
Now that I think
you,
of it.
You can lose
it was
stuff
in my
very
bag.
Easily.
You know what I'm going to do is gather the books that you've lent me. Except for the one that I haven't read yet. There's two I haven't read.
You got to finish. You got to read Swagger.
That one
Swagger,
I have to
whatever
read.
It is, and and finish the Miami Dolphins undefeated season book.
Yes.
That was tremendous.
And I will do that.
Books were good.
I'll gather up the books I've lost that you've gave me.
Wait till you get your own car back because it'd probably fill up a small SUV.
Here's another one you'd love. Frank DeFord. You ever read his autobiography?
No, he is the best.
Then I'm going to give you that one.
He is not one of the best. He is the best all time.
You're going to love his book because it's all about him growing up, I think, in Baltimore, how he became a writer, why he got into sports. Clearly, the guy didn't belong in sports, right? He belonged writing real stuff.
He could do whatever he wants.
He could have written Folsey's autobiography, Horse We Hardly Knew Ye, right?
You know, I have my favorites of all time. You know, the best sports writer now is Bill Plaske in L.A. I find him tremendous. But of all time, I would put DeFord number one.
There you go. I'm bringing you that book, Ron. Here's another one for you. Ready for a third? I'll give you a hat trick. Bob Ryan. You like him?
Boston. Ooh. Sure.
His whole life as a sports writer, a basketball writer. It's the same thing. All these guys got bored. Well, I think DeFord passed away.
He has.
But a couple of these guys got bored during the pandemic. Shaughnessy did the same thing. Went back and went to his days as a Boston beat writer. The Celtics of Bird and Johnson and McHale used to accuse him. They used to say, you want us to lose so you'll have better stuff to write about. You're sitting at courtside wishing that we would lose. And there's great stories about Larry Bird. In that one, good and bad.
I'd love to read those, Joe. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Folsey, could I bring you a book?
Sure. What else you got?
We're talking ancient history.
Goodnight Moon I could bring in.
We're talking ancient history to him. He doesn't even know what the 1960s are or were.
What's Goodnight
Moon? Well,
that's
good. It's a little children's book.
You'd learn
Ron and I could sit by the fireside and read you fairy tales, Folsey. Could we, Ron?
I'd have a beer, and Joe could have a Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
You could curl up, and we could read you Goodnight Moon. Would you like that?
There's something disturbing about that picture for me. I don't know why.
I know. There is. Why did my computer just run out of... Ron, you ever just want to break... Have you... Let's be honest here. All three of us. Have any of the three of us intentionally broken an electronic thing?
I can say
yes.
No to that.
I can felt say
like
yes.
I felt like it many times, but I don't want to break it and then have to pay for it.
I'll tell you when I broke one most recently. Yeah, maybe that's a lie. I think I broke one more recently when we were doing shows during the pandemic from my basement and things kept getting fouled up electronically. I took my phone and I whipped it against my wall in the basement and it just smashed.
See, I can't.
And then they wouldn't take me at the Apple store because you weren't allowed to go in the Apple store then.
I can't do that.
Jeez.
I can. Folsey, what's your story?
I think this was back in high school. It might have been early college days.
It felt good, too, by the way. Go ahead.
It was an Xbox controller. I was playing online with somebody. It was a really intense game, and I blew it at the end. It gave up a touchdown that I had no business giving up. I took that controller and slammed it right off the floor, and pieces went flying. The thing, like, broke in half, essentially.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You guys got to learn to control your tempers.
I wanted to smash my TV the other night. It depends on what mood you're in to begin with, but I was watching the Warriors. I told you they're the last team I root for.
You watch every game you can that they play.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
And they're like the Penguins right now. It's very similar, although they won a championship last year. But they're aging out. They're on the playoff bubble. They're very Penguin-like. And I was watching them the other night, and I had fantasies of taking my driver and smashing my television in. But I didn't, Ron.
Mrs. Starkey was glad about that.
She doesn't care what happens in the basement. That's where they put me every night. I told you, I have a little cat window. It's in the door where I can peek into what they're doing in the kitchen, and then they tell me to go back down.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
With some sort of obscene gesture, right?
Sometimes, yeah. They shoo me away. My bathroom is down there.
Get out of here.
My TV room, all my clothes. I live in the basement of my own home.
What are you looking at?
Get out of here.
Who's next, Folsey? I've lost track here. When's the Eagles guy coming on?
12:30. Dave Scudero from Eagles Insider is going to come on. But at noon, we have Tyler Kennedy.
Yes, we do. And you have a Wheel of Football coming up later in the show. Up next, a very prominent Patriot, almost Steeler, has retired. Not to steal anything from the Wheel of Football, but I want to tell you about that. Football note, Dante Hightower announces his retirement. What a player. What a player involved in a very famous play that preceded a very, very, very famous play. He made the tackle on Marshall Faulk, a great tackle. Like, you thought Faulk was going to score on the second last offensive play for Seattle in that Super Bowl. We all know what happened on the next play when they didn't give him the ball. And he was almost a Steeler. The Steelers were very interested.
Marshawn Lynch, you mean?
Who did I say?
Marshall Faulk.
You said Marshall Faulk, yeah.
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn
Lynch. And Hightower visited the Steelers, Ron, one year, was at their offices and wound up going back to New England. They were very, very interested in him. A classic sort of outsmart you and also beat you up kind of guy.
How many?
You're looking for a captain on the field and somebody to outwit a quarterback. That's your guy.
How many Super Bowls did he win there? Was he a part of?
Great
player. That's a good question. Probably ended up going back. He was comfortable there. You know, knew how everything went. You know, probably knew the whole Belichick way. What a career. What a career.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Three times.
Second-team All-Pro. Two-time Pro Bowl. Patriots All-2010s team. That's a pretty good team to be a part of. Patriots All-Dynasty team. And a two-time BCS national champion.
Where did he play at in college?
Alabama. How many people in history, I wonder, won multiple national championships and multiple Super Bowls? I'm going to look that up right now while you and Folsy discuss something else.
Probably Alabama's had a few of them, right?
I'm sure.
But won so many national titles.
I feel like there is an obvious answer out there.
I did not realize that. But he had a hell of a career. And as you said, so smart, but such a good player, too. I forgot the tackle. I was at that Super game. Bouchette and I were at that Super Bowl.
Yeah, it looked like he was just going to walk in.
I forgot the tackle we made, and then obviously they didn't give it to him, and the pass was intercepted. Russell Martin.
Which NFL players have won both a national championship and a Super Bowl?
Well, you said multiple. I bet there's been a lot that have won both.
This only lists 15 for some reason, Ron. That couldn't be right, could it?
Maybe. That's 15.
Which NFL players have won both a national championship and a Super Bowl? Tony Dorsett, Joe Namath, Ken Stabler, Joe Montana, Joseph Addai, Michael Irvin, Grant Winstrom. You wouldn't have gotten that one, would you have?
But you mentioned Michael Irvin. In the Ben podcast, Tomlin asked his favorite player. He said without hesitation, Mike Irvin, the playmaker.
Yeah, the playmaker. Rocky Blyer won at Notre Dame in 66. Did you know that?
I think he won four with the Steelers.
I didn't know that. Ron, I dare say there's not a lot of guys. Courtney Upshaw's won. No, he won two national championships and one Super Bowl. I want to know who's won multiple. And I'm going to look this up, and it's going to be my mission the rest of the day.
I'll bet there's not many, if any, of those.
Let alone, if you count them up, five for this guy. Wow. All right. Folsy will have more football notes coming up. We've got tons of stuff to talk about, and we're going to talk to Tyler Kennedy next. It's another edition of Uphill Hockey Talk with Tyler Kennedy.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.